come to give Him glory, honor, praise, because He is so worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Young people, you may make your way upstairs. A youth class, congregation, you may be seated. Make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, we do have a two-session format on Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, evangelistic service at 11. No PM activity here at the church on Sunday night. However, if you were here last Sunday night, we kind of kicked off and introduced what we're going to be doing during our summers. And we're calling them, and by summers I mean on Sunday nights, we are calling them share sessions. And so there are three areas that we are going to give you opportunity to share. We're going to give you an opportunity to share the word. We have ordered 25 books. They're small, I call them books, they're really little pamphlets. Essential Doctrines of the Bible by our General Superintendent, David K. Bernard. And we are going to take each Sunday, we're going to take two of those particular subjects in the pamphlet. And people are going to give a presentation, either 5 to 7 minutes approximately, on their thoughts concerning that particular subject. Then we're going to have a little period of question and answer. And so that's share number one, share the word. And then we're going to have share your story. We're going to give opportunity for people to be interviewed, if you will. The questions will be pre-selected and pre-screened. And then the one that is being interviewed selects the questions that they would like to be asked in advance. And then they will obviously have a response to those questions. So we'll have one or two people a night on the Sunday nights, depending on scheduling. To do that, so number one is share the word, number two is share your story. You'll be able to share your testimony, share your story about your faith journey, your childhood, just different things. We're not trying to pry into anybody's life, we just want to get to know you better. And so this is given an opportunity kind of in a public forum to make that happen. And then finally is share your talent. If you have a talent, you sing, you play, you write poetry, creative writing, whatever your talent is, we want you to be able to share that talent, not for you, but for the glory of God. And so we'll give opportunity for that as well. And so we have a sign-up sheet, and I believe it's at the back. I'll have to double-check. If not, I'll make sure it's printed. It is back there. Okay. With the correct dates? I hope so. All right. We have a lot going on during the month of, as we finish up May and in the month of June. And with Father's Day and prep for the parade, we're going to be in the parade this year, in case you don't know that. We're going to have a float in the parade. And so there's a lot of things that we will be doing. Additionally to that, on Sunday night, on the 23rd, we have, so we're doing it on the 2nd and the 23rd. The 16th is Father's Day, so we will not have a PM session on Father's Day. And then what was happening on the 9th? Small groups, that's right. Small groups is happening on the 9th. So we have it on the 2nd. We have a share Sunday night on the 2nd. We have small groups on Sunday the 9th. We have Father's Day, which is no PM activity, on June the 16th. And then June the 23rd, we have our second share session. Man, you got to be careful. That's a lot of S's right there, a lot of alliteration, on the 23rd. So those sign-up sheets are at the back, and we'll provide you with the material and all that good stuff. They are on order, so should be here any day. And you can even pay via Breeze. So you can go on the Breeze website, and there is a tab there. You can just click on it, and you can pay via the Breeze website. They're only $5. So hopefully that won't break you, and you can help us in sharing the word on Share Sundays on Sunday night. So more to follow concerning that, but just want to, I hope that you are looking forward to it, as I am looking forward to it, and being able to share those different aspects. And as I said, Sunday night, you will hear very little from me on Sunday nights. That is the intent. That is the purpose. We want to hear from other people in this church. And so in the share a talent portion, we are going to have the kids come up, because there's some of them that would like to share their talent as they're learning to play, they're learning to sing, they're learning to do different things. And so I think it was on the way home Sunday night, I had Landon in the front seat with me, and he said, "Dad, in that share a talent thing, can we do that?" And I said, yeah, bud, you can do that. He said, "Because I want to do that pastoring stuff."
I began to intercede for him right then. But they're excited, and so we want to make this an opportunity, and obviously the whole goal about it is for us all to be collectively more involved in what's happening, what's going on, being able to share and feel more a part, accountable, and involved in the things of God and the ministry, and so that's what this is all about. So enough commercial on that. We'll move forward. But do want to remind you, this coming Sunday, no PM activity. Is Memorial Day weekend. We realize people are traveling, so no PM activity on Sunday night. Let's take some knees of the Lord in prayer. If you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand and we'll call upon you, Sister D. All right, let's remember the fate of family, certainly. Sister Christine, then, Brother. Goodness. All right. Certainly remember that. Mike. All right. All right, Brother Al. All right. Just remember it. Jerry in prayer. All right, it's early. Sister Davis, saw your hand. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Yes. Certainly. Very worthy request. Put the mic. All right. Pray for that situation. Sister Rose. Woohoo! All right. Sister Christy. All right. Certainly. Sunday night, I made a request for a family that is part of my father's church in Florida, the Wicker family. Wayne Wicker, a longtime member of the church, passed away. And as I talked to mom and dad this week a little bit about it some more, there were some family situations there that I did not realize existed, some estrangement with some family. And always, whenever there's that part of it, and someone passes away, there's the regret, there's the questions, there's everything surrounding a situation like that. And then his wife Katie, who is now a widow, she's not in good health at all, but she's a very independent person, and well, feels she's very independent, but I don't think she realizes just how much she depended upon the care of her husband, who is no longer here. And so that's a situation that the family's having to deal with as well. And then obviously pray for my father and dealing with that. He'll be officiating the services and all that surrounds that. So if you remember, pray for the Wicker family as well. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we're so thankful that we can come to you with every care, every concern of life, Lord, every need, no matter how big or how small. Lord, we thank you for the praise report, God, and the recovery of Sister Jane, God, there in her shoulder surgery. Lord, we thank you that we can depend upon you and trust in you, God, for the fate of family, God, dealing with the loss of a loved one, God, never easy. Lord, I pray that you would speak peace and comfort the heart and the life, Lord. We lift you up, God, and we magnify you, God, to understanding that you are able, God, to work in every situation and circumstance of life, God, for the pot on the family there, but Jerry battling cancer, Lord, all these needs for Brother Mike and situation at work, Lord, we pray for Carla, God, that you continue to work in her life, God, continue to draw her, God, with your spirit, Lord. We love you, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, Lord. We lift the Wicker up, God, Wicker family up, God, in prayer, God, that you would be comfort and help, God. Give my father wisdom, God, as he seeks to minister the family in this time of tragedy, Lord. Give him words of wisdom to say and heart of love to reach to them, God, in their situation, Lord. We thank you that we can come to you and trust you, God, that your power is there to help, God, in every situation we have, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. We praise you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Why don't we applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our subject of study called Developing the Leader Within You. We're on lesson 3, and as I have been doing of late, we want to take just a few moments and kind of review some of the highlights of last week. Last week we talked about one of the key traits of leadership. Anybody remember what it is that we talked about last week? One word started with a P. Priorities. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Caleb. We talked about priorities and how that one of the key traits of being a good leader is being able to prioritize, to make sure we are putting things in their proper place. And so we talked about some tips for prioritizing. We'll look at those real quick. But we had kind of a saying, a quote that we put in the study, if you will. The reason most major goals are not achieved is because we do blank things blank. But remember what those two words were. Good job, Brother Kellum. He is an A student today. Because we do second things first. Because we do not have our priorities right many times, we don't achieve the major goals in life that we should. We don't often graduate from one level of leadership to another. And simply the reason why is because we don't correctly prioritize. And we talked about that. We talked about how, and I was candid with some of my my areas that I need to learn how to better prioritize my life. And we talked about making lists and making sure that what is major is at the top of that list. We talked about the 80-20 principle, the 20-80 principle rather, how that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And if you can focus on those top 20% of the people, you can increase your production. And so we talked about all those principles that had to do with priorities. And then we talked about some tips for prioritizing. And we'll very quickly go through these, but I just kind of want to review what we talked about last week. Number one, decide what to do and do it. Decide what not to do and don't do it. Decide what to do and do it. Decide what not to do and don't do it. We get that backwards a lot. Too many priorities were paralyzed. Find the important few and focus your resources there. Find that top 20. Find those things that are good fit, that you're good at, that you get results at, and focus upon those things and make those things be key. Make those things be your priorities in life. The good can be the enemy of the best. Well, there's a lot of good things that I can prioritize. Well, just make sure that what I'm working on may be good, but it may not be the best. And so sometimes the good can be the enemy of the best. So find the best. Make that be the priority and work therein. If it can be handled by someone else, find someone else to do it. Delegation. It is hard sometimes because we don't properly delegate because we don't properly prioritize. We don't put things in the proper place. And so we end up doing things that quite honestly we could have other people do it. And it should be a priority to prioritize, to delegate, and make sure that if there is something other people can do, then have them do it. And then we talked about how that Scripture reveals how important priorities are. Talk about a Scripture in Haggai where the Lord said, listen, you expected a good harvest, but you got little. You expected a lot, but you didn't get much in return. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. And the reason why I did so is because you focused on what you thought was important, and you missed what was really important. And we talked about that. And then we talked about where the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We talked about how that the Scriptures reveal how important priorities are. So tonight we're moving on. And here are the focus verses for tonight's study. One's on the left in the King James, and the one on the right are in the New Living or New International Version. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Over there in the New Living Translation, honesty guides good people, dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Titus 2:7, King James, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. The New International Version, Titus 2:7, reads like this: In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. So, in light of those scriptures that we just read, and we'll reference them here again, leadership's most important, or leadership's important ingredient. Anybody have any idea what this one word would be? Leadership's important ingredient. Sister Rachel said it. Anybody else? If you spoke up louder, they'd hurt you, but that's right. Starts with an I. Integrity. Very good. Integrity. Leadership's important ingredient. Integrity. Kind of a little funny thing here. On a job application, one question read, have you ever been arrested? The applicant wrote no in the space provided. Next to this space was the question why. Somewhat naive and not realizing that if your response to the first question was no, then the second question need not apply. The applicant instead supplied this response in the blank space following the why. I guess that is because I never got caught. Have you ever been arrested? No. Why? Well, I guess because I never got caught. Where the pursuits of personal pleasure and shortcuts to success are the staples in a society, integrity becomes a vanishing commodity. Think about that statement. And we live in this type of society where the pursuit of personal pleasure and shortcuts to success become the staple. Integrity becomes a vanishing commodity. Where people are no longer concerned about the long-term effects if there's immediate gratification. I'll say that again. Where people are no longer concerned about the long-term effects if there is, in fact, immediate gratification. If I can get what I want right now, it doesn't really matter to me what that's going to cost me in the future. And that, my friend, shows a severe lack of integrity. Not willing to wait, not willing with patience to persevere, not willing to go through the process and allow things to develop, not willing to painstakingly, maybe at times, deal with the problems and the situations and the circumstances that come by being honest and integral and doing the things that we should and living the life that we should and leading a lifestyle that says, I am a person of integrity. Instead, take the shortcut. Instead, find the easiest path, the path of least resistance to your own personal pleasure. Don't worry about how that affects other people. Don't worry about how that affects your family. Don't worry about how that affects other relationships. Just get what you want when you want it. And if that is our pursuit, and if that is how we are going to lead our life, you know what is going to suffer? Integrity. Integrity is going to suffer because we will offer it up on the auction block of our own self-gratification. Because we're not really worried about how people perceive us per se. We are in the sense of an image, but not really in the sense of our integrity. Maybe in how people look at me for today, I will do something, but I'm really not concerned with how that affects their perception of me long term. It's just right now. Just what I want in immediate gratification. And we live in this type of society. And we as the church and we as a body of believers, if there is something that we have to concentrate on to be leaders, not only in our families, not only in our social circles, in our communities, but if we are truly going to be leaders in our lives, we must maintain integrity. Integrity is an all-important ingredient in leadership. Let's talk about this. Integrity is not what we do so much as who we are, and who we are in turn determines what we do. There are things in life, and I got to hammer this home. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I said, listen, In my life, I've come to the understanding that there are things that I do not do. There are things that will not be a part of my life. Not necessarily because they are sin,
And not necessarily because I'm worried about how people are going to perceive me or how people are going to look at me. There are things in my life that I choose to either accept or reject based upon who I am. Who I am at my core. My core values do not allow me to participate in some things. And it's not because Pastor preaches against it. It's because my integrity is maintained to a point that it is who I am. And who I am then thus dictates what I do or don't do. I am a human being in the sense of who I am being. And as a result, that affects what I am doing. And in order to truly be integral as a human being, and more importantly, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, that integrity must be maintained in my life. Why? Well, because I seek not your personal image of me or not your personal perception. I seek to be true to who I am in my walk and relationship with God. To have integrity in my life. So it's not what we do so much as who we are, and who we are in turn then determines what we do. It's not that I don't do those things because I don't do those things. I don't do those things because of who I am. There's something in the core of me. There's an integrity. There's an internal integrity that doesn't allow me to perform that externally. Integrity is when our system of values is so much a part of us, we cannot separate it from ourselves. We cannot separate our values from who we are. That it's who I am. I choose to be this way. I choose to live this kind of life. I choose to be a believer. I choose to follow the Word of God. I choose these things as my system of values. My principles are founded upon the precepts of the Word of God, and they define me as a person, as a child of God, as a believer. And as a believer, my behavior is thus. Certainly we choose to have godly convictions. And as a result of those choices, those convictions have what? They have an effect on our conduct, on what we do. The Bible talks about it in all manner of conversation. So I choose to have convictions. I choose to have principles and precepts applied to my life because I am a child of God. Integrity is the navigating system that guides us in establishing priorities by judging what we will accept or reject. Integrity is that internal GPS that doesn't allow me to make that turn. It doesn't allow me to go that direction. It doesn't allow, why? Because they're not a part of my values. It's not a part of who I am. I don't do that, or I do that. I accept or I reject based upon integrity. Based upon who I am as a child of God. My identity is found in Christ. My identity is not found in your opinion of me. Integrity builds trust. When you have a person of integrity, you can trust that individual. You don't have to worry where that individual is going to be from day to day. I'm glad I grew up in a home where I had parents of integrity. I didn't have to worry from week to week how we were going to live. They were people of integrity. They had values. They had morals. They had things at the core of who they are that dictated what we did and how we lived. And there was such a comfort in that. There was such a security in that. And let me just say, from an environmental standpoint, and what I mean by environment, I'm talking about the environment of our society. I was talking with, my family was invited over to a birthday party of our neighbor, and we met another couple, and I got in discussion with the man, and we just kind of hit it off and began to talk, and he, I found out he was from Georgia, and so we, you know, southern boys, we begin to talk about life and our experience. He was close in age, and we talked about growing up and how he lived, and he had this statement. He said, "Yeah, I remember as a kid that I would go out and I would play all day, and we'd go in the woods." And he said, "I was told by my parents, listen for the sound of the whippoorwill, and when you hear the sound of the whippoorwill, then come home." And he said, I knew that. I would stay out and I would play. And at dusk, the whippoorwills would begin to sing. And then I would go home. And I told him, I said, "Yeah, I know that's southern." He said, "What's whippoorwill?" But I told him, I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "I remember growing up, I would wait for my mom. I would be out and playing in the neighborhood. I would wait. My mom would come into the back sliding glass door. And she would yell out, 'Nathan!'" She knew I was somewhere in the neighborhood, within earshot. She didn't know exactly where. And I told him, I said, "You know what? I wouldn't do that with my kids nowadays." And it's not because I don't trust my kids. It's because I don't trust the rest of society anymore. The integrity of humanity as a whole, in my personal opinion, has digressed. It's gone backwards. Just today, I was driving along Latham early this morning, and three young kids were walking along the sidewalk, and the oldest was maybe 5 or 6. And I thought to myself, my goodness. And then I thought to myself, why do you think that way? Why do you think that's an issue? Years ago, that wouldn't have been an issue. But now it's an issue. And I came to the conclusion, the reason why now that's an issue is because I no longer have faith in our society. I no longer trust people. Because integrity is gone. I can't trust that there's other people driving down this road with good intentions in relation to those children. I would hope that they all would. But I can't trust that anymore. Because the integrity of society as a whole, in my opinion, has diminished. It's not what it used to be. Integrity has high influence value and facilitates high standards. You have a person of integrity that you can trust. It facilitates. Again, go back to society. The reason why is because the standard of society nowadays, in relation to family, in relation to life, in relation to children, it's not what it used to be. It's just not. There's no longer the high values that used to exist in our society. It just don't. Integrity results in good, solid reputation. The Bible tells us that we are to have a good rapport of them that are without. Integrity is to be maintained. There is no greater detriment to a witness of a believer than to live one way inside the walls of these churches and live another way outside the walls. Why? Because it's a blight on integrity. It says that I live one way in there and another way out there. Integrity means living it myself before attempting to lead others. So that's a tough one. Because here's where we want to be the exception like everybody else, rather than be exceptional and say, "No, I'm going to maintain integrity. I'm going to have integrity as an individual. I'm going to have high values and high standards. I am going to live a life that is above the fray. I'm going to live a life that says I have a higher power working in my life, equipping me and giving me the ability to live at a higher standard. Not that I'm condescending to other people. Not that I look down at other people for the life they choose to live. But they understand that I live this life because of who I am. And I recognize that I am a child of the King, that I am royalty. And as a result of that, I live differently. And I live it so that I can lead others." I say it all the time in leadership, you have to have the bar set higher. You just have to. Why? Because there's a level of integrity that needs to be maintained. There's a level of distinction that must take place. When society says, "Let's just lower the bar for everybody, so everybody's on the same playing field," Let's just say it doesn't really matter. Let's not have any distinctions anymore. Well, if you no longer have distinction, you no longer have high values, and you no longer have higher standards, where does integrity come into play? Let me ask you this. What is the use of integrity? Why doesn't everybody just do what is right in their own eyes? Sound biblical? Yeah. Right before destruction. Right before the judgment of God. And so, yes, integrity is very important in leadership. It is a key ingredient. It helps maintain high standards. Integrity is hard won, but easily lost. Integrity is hard won, but easily lost. And then once you lose it, it's hard to regain it. It's hard once the integrity is been faltered. It's hard to regain it. It's hard to then come back and be once again a person. It's not impossible, but it's difficult. Because integrity is hard won, but it's easily lost. It's easy to lose that integrity when I become two-faced or I act one way. We've even seen it recently in our community where something has shocked us as a community. Because integrity wasn't maintained. And now there's a lot of collateral damage that results as the result of somebody who is in leadership or somebody who has a higher expectation. Do we not? But here's the problem. We live in a society full of imitators. They want to imitate. But the reality is there's very few people worth imitating nowadays. Why? Because integrity has diminished. Because we live in a society where the pursuit of personal fulfillment and shortcuts to success, that's the pursuit. That's the long, how it affects us long term. In a book, Objection Answered by R.C. Sproul, tells the true story of a young Jewish boy growing up in Germany many years ago. This young lad had a profound sense of admiration for his father, who faithfully led their family to synagogue. However, in his teen years, their family moved into another town, and his father, realizing the influence of the Lutheran church in the new community, announced to the family that they would be abandoning their Jewish traditions and joining the Lutheran church because it would be good for business. This young man became bewildered, and his deep disappointment soon gave way to an intense anger and bitterness. They would have him as a man pen words that define religion as an opiate for the masses. His atheistic views and anti-religious remarks have defined this man, Karl Marx, as the father of communism. Now, I'm not attributing all of that to his father's failure to maintain integrity. But it undoubtedly had an effect upon his life. And as a developing young man in his teens, he saw a father who he admired and had a profound sense of admiration because his father faithfully led the family to synagogue and in Jewish tradition. And then because they moved to a new town where now influence would be garnered by being involved in a different church, he announces to the family, "We're going to abandon our tradition. We're going to join the Lutheran church." Do not think for one moment it did not have a profound effect upon this man and how he viewed religion. And now much of our world, even in the sense of government, follows many of his views. Think about it. Communist nations who are, in fact, hurting their people because of the way in which they conduct their lives and they lead others. And here a young man whose father failed to maintain integrity, how it affected him. Whoa. What people need is not a motto to say, but rather a model to see. See what I'm saying? Do as I do, not as I say. Well, they both matter, but if you had to weigh one over the other, Jesus gave the parable. Remember the two sons? Goes to the one son and says, hey, go work in my field. And the son says, I go. But he never went. Goes to the other son and says, hey, go work in the field. And the son says, I'm not going. But instead, he went. Jesus said, which one of these did the will of his father? Obviously, the one who went and did. Well, this world doesn't need more people who will stand behind a podium or a pulpit and say things. Follow me. What this world needs is more people who may stand behind a podium, a pulpit, a desk, or whatever, a bench, and not say, but live it. Be a model for people to see. Be someone. Granted, we live in a society that loves to point out, loves, man, to take those people who have a failure in integrity, and man, they plaster it everywhere. They do. And you want to know why they do that? Because human nature is to point out the faults of other people. Why? Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Because we all know that none of us are 100% integral. None of us. I don't care how good we think we are. There are certain situations and there are certain times when we don't maintain as much integrity as we should. We don't. And so when someone else fails, especially people in leadership or position, oh man, it's easy then to pick apart. It's easy. Because that individual, there was an expectation there. Oh, and then it's almost nowadays, it's almost a, you know, certain things become synonymous in our minds with certain things. Well, that's very general. Politician. What should come to our mind is someone that's governing for our benefit. Is that what comes to our mind when we say the word politician? No. No. It's like the two elderly women that were walking through a rather crowded English community cemetery. They looked and on the headstone says, here lies John Smith, a good man and a politician. One lady looks at the other lady, she said, it's a shame that this place is becoming so crowded they had to put two guys in one grave. Because a good man and politician, it just didn't seem like it, you know, would work. Why? Why is that the case? Because we've seen such a blight on the integrity of those that have that position. That now that position becomes synonymous many times in our heart and in our mind that when that word is said, it's no longer thought. But yet, if I say something like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, ooh, Ronald Reagan for those in the 80s, woohoo! Well, now politician takes on a whole different, yeah, well, they were politicians. Think about it. But we see what has developed over time, and yeah, I realize that information is much more easily accessible. And I'm not saying that those guys were perfect. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we have seen in our society the diminishing of what integrity is. So there's not really an expectation. There should be, but there's not. I better hurry on. The more credible we are, the more confidence people will place in us, thereby allowing us the privilege of influencing their lives. That is. The more credible we are, the more people can depend upon us and trust in us, the more they're willing to allow us to influence them. Image is what people think we are, but integrity is what we really are. Big difference between image and integrity. If it becomes about maintaining my image, then guess what's going to suffer? Often my integrity. Because if I remain true to myself and I remain true to integrity and have inner confidence and trust that I'm comfortable in who I am as an individual, even when other people are not, I'm not concerned about my image. I'm more concerned about my integrity. So whether you like me or you don't like me, that doesn't change my stance on my values. My values are my values. Who I am at my core does not vary. It's not going to try to complement whatever condition I find myself in. It's going to stay true. It's going to be the same. If people understand me, I'll get their attention. But if people trust me, I'll get their action. And leadership, integrity is so important. It's good that they understand me and I can get their attention. But if they trust me, I can get their action. I can truly lead them. Why? Because I have integrity. Integrity is a result of self-discipline, inner confidence and trust, and a decision to be relentlessly honest in all situations in our lives. I'm going to maintain integrity. Integrity is important to me. Integrity is important to me. So even when the cashier misses the thing in the cart and I recognize that he or she missed it and I get out to the car, I don't say, freebie. My integrity says, hey, I didn't pay for this. It's integrity. What a fitting short poem. Still as of old, men by themselves are priced. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas sold himself, not Christ. Wow. What a statement. Judas sold himself. He didn't maintain integrity. Think about this. All the time, who was it that Jesus trusted with the bag? The whole time it was Judas. Multiple times in Scripture, it references Judas as having the bag, the money. Jesus, knowing his heart, still allowed him. Make no mistake, Judas didn't sell out Christ, he sold out himself. His integrity was not maintained. It's the very reason that drove him to go back, throw the 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because integrity was gone. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Probably one of the most familiar passages in all the Bible in reference to integrity. It's found in Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Job has lost his cattle. Job has lost his houses. Job has lost his children. Satan has once again appeared before God and asked to touch Job's health. Just let me affect his health and he'll curse you. The Lord says you can touch his health, but you can't take his life. So here we find Job. It has gone from bad to worse. Cattle, possessions, and houses, and now his children, and now his health, as he sat down in a pile of ashes and he has taken a piece of pot and he is scraping the boils that covers his body. Think about all the pain, emotional pain, mental pain, and now physical pain he is in. His wife comes up to him, then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thy integrity? And I thought to myself, woman, that's the only thing he has left. Dost thou maintain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speaketh as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? What? You really expect me to curse God and die? What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? You need to understand, woman, it's not based upon my circumstances. I've said it before. Job was a whatever worshiper. He worshiped. He was building altars and he was offering up sacrifices for his kids when times were good. Why would he now change when times are bad? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? You think my circumstances are going to change who I am? You speak as a foolish woman. Yes, I'm going to maintain my integrity. It's the only thing I have left. And all this did not Job sin with his lips. He maintained his integrity. We know the latter end was greater than the former. He became an even greater leader. Why? Because he maintained integrity. How important is integrity? Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for your word. God, help us to realize the importance of integrity in our lives, God. As we see the world around us, Lord, and the many failures, God, that assail us, God, let us understand that only in you, God, can we truly maintain the integrity we need in the world in which we live. And allow you in our heart and lives to help us walk the way that is right, God, that's straight and narrow, God, to live a life that shows forth, God, integrity, and lead others to do the same. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you. In your precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.